Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tesvav. We are holding on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, six lines from the end of the page. Ella Amar Rav Sheshes Berei D'Rav Idi. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha Alah Shalom, and the Shamash Shav and Aliyah. It is also sponsored by David Friedman in memory of his father, Meish Friedman, Moshe Zev Ben Azriel Tzvi, one of the founders of Yeshiva Shar Yashuv, whose eighth yard site is tomorrow, the Nishmas. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do today is we're going to talk about answering the question that we raised yesterday, which is that the Mishnah had said that if a person shechts on Shabbos Yom Kippur, that the Shechita is going to be kosher. So Rav said, but you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos itself. So Gemara said, that Rav is following Rabbi Yehuda when he says that you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos itself if you shechted it on Shabbos. So the Gemara tried to figure out, where does Rabbi Yehuda say anything about this? Which sheet of Rabbi Yehuda are we aligning Rav with? So we had two possibilities yesterday, and we're going to have two more possibilities today. The second of those possibilities of which sheet of Rabbi Yehuda we're aligning Rav with is the sugya of Maisa Shabbos, that in general, if someone does a Malacha on Shabbos, what are the rules in terms of benefiting from that Malacha on Shabbos? We're going to see that it is a three-way Machlokes Tanaim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Then the Gemara is going to discuss that one time someone came and said that if you're Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, that you're allowed to eat from it. And Rav quieted the person down. So the Gemara tries to figure out, why did Rav quiet the person down? He seems to be just teaching a legitimate Shita of Tanaim. He seems to be teaching the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And when someone teaches a Shita of a legitimate Tana, it would be odd to quiet the person down. Then the Gemara discusses the difference in muktza status of something that was cooked on Shabbos versus the muktza status of something that was shechted on Shabbos. That they're going to have different, they're both malachos d'oraisa. From a muktza perspective, they're different from one another. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss which sharp utensils are pasul for shechita even b'di'evet, and which are only not to be used the chachila, but would be kosher b'di'evet. And the Gemara is going to distinguish between using a sharp item that's still attached to the ground versus a sharp item that is talush min hakarka. So let us begin again, six lines from the end of the page, on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, again trying to answer which shita of Rabbi Yehuda is it that Rav was assuming like when he said that you're not allowed to eat from that which was shechted throughout the duration of Shabbos. So Elam Rav Sheshes Prey Dravidi Rabbi Yehuda de Neiros he. It's Rabbi Yehuda about Neiros, about being metaltel Neiros on Shabbos. The Tanya, because the Brisa tells us metaltel in Ner Chadash, that you're on Shabbos, you're allowed to be metaltel a brand new ner that has never been used before. A ner is not what we would call like a wax candle. A ner means the klicheres that would hold the oil and the wick, and that they would. So once you use it once, it gets a little bit gross because it's made out of cheres. Before they ever use it, it's just a tiny klicheres. So there's nothing wrong with being metaltel on Shabbos. Avalo yashon, but you're not allowed to be metaltel a ner yashon. In the Bir Halacha and Siman Reish Ayin Tes, he points out that when we say you're allowed to be metaltel a ner chadash, it means it's not even a klisha melach to l'isser. Klisha melach to l'isser is something that's been used l'isser, and you're allowed to be metaltel tzarech gufo tzarech makomo. It's not even that. It's just a klicheres. It's not. It was only in machshava that it's designated to be used as a ner for some sort of isser usage, but it's never actually been used for anything aser. So it's like a klisha melach to l'heter. You're allowed to move it anyway. There's no limitation on when you're allowed to move it. So metaltel ner chadash, but avalo yash. A ner that they've already that's already been used becomes a little bit disgusting from the usage, and a person doesn't want to use it for anything other than hadlaka going forward. He would never want to drink out of such a thing, for example, and therefore it becomes something that is a muktza. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So you see that something that's a little bit gross, since you don't want to use it for anything else other than hadlaka, becomes muktza, even if right now. Now, you you are interested in using it, because when Shabbos started, you were maksamidaito. So that's what makes it muksa, that when Shabbos began, you wouldn't have had a hava mina, that you're going to use it over the course of Shabbos. So the same is true when it comes to a behema that's shechted on Shabbos, that since you know you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos, and while it's alive, you're not allowed to eat it because it's eivor min achai, so a person is maksadaito in mimena. When Shabbos started, it's alive, and therefore this is off limits to me, because my only two options are eating it alive, which is aser, or shechting it, which is aser. So I'm out of options, and therefore I don't have a havamina of using such an animal on Shabbos. So even if it was shechted on Shabbos, it's going to be muktza. So says Gemara, wait, Emor de Shabbat the Rabbi Yehuda bim muktza machmas miyus. Where does Rabbi Yehuda say that something becomes aser betiltel because of muktza? That's by the case of the ner, where it's gross, where it's miyus. Muktza machmas iser mi shabbat. Does Rabbi Yehuda say that that which is only muktza because of the isurim that are involved, the reason the behema is muktza is only because you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos and you're not allowed to eat eivor min achai? So does he hold that that's going to be muktza as well? Couldn't one have possibly been mechalik that when it comes to muktza machmas iser, you're not really muktza daito legamri, and if it therefore becomes something usable on Shabbos, that it should not be us? Isn't there room for such a chiluk? So the Tosfos raises the question, there is room for such a chiluk, but l'chor in the other direction. Because l'chor muktza machmas iser is more chomer than muktza machmas miyus. Because we're going to have a sugya later today where Rabbi Meir is going to tell us that muktza machmas iser is aser. And in Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Meir is matir muktza machmas miyus. So apparently muktza machmas iser is more chomer. So if Rabbi Yehuda is machmir by muktza machmas miyus, like the case of the ner yashan, l'chora kol shekein that he's going to be machmir by muktza machmas iser. So therefore, the l'chora, it fits very nicely to say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Once I've established that Rabbi Yehuda says muktza machmas miyus is going to be aser, so kal v'chomer muktza machmas iser is going to be aser. And that's why when Rav touched up our Mishnah, he said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be aser for that entire day. So the Gemara is making a chiluk, but the chiluk between the two categories runs in the other direction. So Tosfos suggests that it's true. When the Gemara gives this dichoy of this chiluk, it's a dichoy bi'alma. The real reason we can't say that the Mishnah is talking about muktza machmas iser is because if that were the case, let's say someone had a chola sheyesh bo sakana in their house when Shabbos started. So they know that there's a reasonable chance they might need to shech this animal on Shabbos beheter, that they might need, so then it's not going to be a muktza issue anymore because they were never maksa midaito. And if that chola gets better on Shabbos and then they shecht beisser, you can't call it muktza because it wasn't muktza when Shabbos started. So it would only be a malacha issue. It wouldn't be a muktza issue that we'd have to contend with. And that's the real reason that we can't say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. What the Gemara says of distinguishing these categories of muktza machsis and muktza machsmius is really it's really not what the Gemara really intends. It's just a dichoy bialma. Shitum Gvetza says no. The Gemara means it. Muktza machmas miyus versus muktza machmas iser. It's not that one is more chumer than the other. Each one has a maila and a chisaron. So one could have made the argument that muktza machmas miyus is more chumer. One could have made the argument that muktza machmas miyus is more chumer. The maila that muktza machmas miyus has is that it's not the same for everybody. Some people are grossed out by certain things, and other people have a little more tolerance and are not going to be, a little more of a threshold of tolerance for things that are a little bit gross and aren't going to be as grossed out by it. So, but the chisaron that it has is that once you're maksa daito machmas miyus, it's muksa in your mind, you're never going to use it. It's not just about not using it this Shabbos. This is something that you will never use for anything else. As opposed to muksa machmas iser, it's the opposite. So mitzad echad, the chisaron is that it's muksa for the entire world, machmas iser, meaning the iser of shechita b'Shabbos is for everybody. It's not. It has nothing to do with what your tolerance threshold is. It has nothing to do with that. It's equal for everybody. But mitzad sheni, it has a certain maila that you're not maksa li'olam, you're only maksa midaito for that Shabbos. So even though Reb Meir might hold that muksa machmas iser is more chamer than muksa machmas miyus, it's still very reasonable to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds the opposite, that muksum machmas meals is more chamer than muksum machmas iser. So anyway, so says Gemara in, we do find that Rabbi Yehuda asers even in the case of muksum machmas iser. Zitnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol neros shel mateches, any metal neros metaltalin, they don't become meals. They can be cleaned out fairly easily, and therefore you're allowed to be metaltal them on Shabbos. Chutz min aner shelikabo ba'osa Shabbos, except for a ner that was lit when Shabbos started, because since when Shabbos started you couldn't use it because of the Isser of Kibbuy, so it's Muksa Machmas Isser for that entire Shabbos, even after it goes out on its own. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Muksa Machmas Isser, and the Lechora, the same would be true, therefore, for a Behema that's Shechter on Shabbos, that since when Shabbos started, it was alive, and it wasn't ratwi to be used in its living state, because as Rashi points out, it's Eved Menachai, so it's Muksa Machmas Isser, and therefore Rav holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be asur to eat that behema on that Shabbos, when you shechted it on that Shabbos. So at this point, the Gemara is saying, yeah, we found it. What's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Rav is assuming like? It's this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that if something is Muksa, you can't have it on Shabbos. If when Shabbos started, it was Muksa, whether it be Machmas Meals, or whether it be Machmas Isser, you're not going to be able to have it on Shabbos. Says Gemara, no, you can't compare this to a case of a ner shel mateches that was lit, because v'dil mashayin yasum duhu dochi lebiadayim. Maybe if you're the one that lit that ner on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, you were docha biadayim. You actively made it something mukta. An animal is just an animal. God made it. So you never did anything to declare it something that's out of your mind that you wouldn't use. So it's a stronger form of Muktza. So we don't necessarily know that Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that Muktza Machmas Isser is going to be reason enough to ask you to eat the animal that's shechted on Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara says, Ela Amaravashi, a fourth and final Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that we might associate our Mishnah with. Again, our Mishnah said that if you shecht on Shabbos, it's Kashra Shechita, B'dieved, but Rav said, not for that Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat it that Shabbos. And we said, because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda? Sa Elam Ravashi. It's the following Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda de Mevashalhi. It's Rabbi Yehuda about when someone cooks on Shabbos. Shechting on Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos, those are easily associated with one another. A person did a malacha on Shabbos. And we'll see, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold about cooking on Shabbos? Titnan, the Mishnah tells us, that Rashi has the Masoros HaShas is changes it to Titania, because while there is a Mishnah that teaches us Shitas Rabbi Meir word for word the way what we're about to say teaches it, the Mishnah doesn't tell us the Shita Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, which we're about to quote. So that is an elaboration of a Braisa. So Titania Hamivashel B'Shabbos, if a person cooks on Shabbos in violation of a Malacha D'Oraisa B'Shogeg, if he did it because he didn't realize that it was Shabbos, or he didn't know that cooking is a thing that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, so Yochal, he can eat from it even on that Shabbos. B'mezid, but if he did it b'mezid, he knew exactly what he was doing, lo Yochal, then he's not allowed to eat it, nobody's allowed to eat from that food until Motzai Shabbos b'kadei she'yasu, until you wait enough time on Motzai Shabbos that you could have cooked it after Shabbos. That's the way Rashi and the Bahag understand, that when we say that lo Yochal, it means lo Yochal even on Motzai Shabbos until B'Kadei She'yasu. Once you get to B'Kadei She'yasu, then it's going to be mutter to eat on Motzai Shabbos. However, the Gaonim and Rabbi Yonah say that on Motzai Shabbos it's mutter right away, that you don't even need to wait B'Kadei She'yasu, because the whole idea of B'Kadei She'yasu was only ever said explicitly about malacha that was done by a guy, that we're afraid that if you're matir someone to use malacha that was done by a guy for you, you're going to come to start asking him to do things for you on Shabbos. So we take away any motivation to ask him to do things for you on Shabbos by saying, even if he does something for you on Shabbos, you're going to have to wait long enough after Shabbos till you could have done it yourself anyway. If you're able to use it as soon as Shabbos is over, then we're afraid you might come to start asking him to do things for you on Shabbos, to do malachs for you on Shabbos in violation of Mir L'Nachri. But what are you going to say? I'm afraid that if I allow you to utilize malacha that you yourself did on Shabbos, right after Shabbos, that you're going to come to do those melachos on Shabbos yourself. No, we're not going to be choshesh that Jews are going to start being mechal Shabbos b'mezid. We're not going to make any rules in place because we're afraid that if you're allowed to get hanah from it as soon as Shabbos is over, now you can come be mechal Shabbos b'mezid. Amir al-Nachri, traditionally, people didn't take as seriously as they should. So we're more concerned that people would violate Amir al-Nachri. Anyway, we're going to stick with Shitas Rashi, that it is B'kdei She'yasu. But anyway, so that's the Shita of Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'shogeg, if you violated Shabbos B'shogeg, you cooked on Shabbos B'shogeg, Yochel Motzai Shabbos, then you're allowed to eat it on Motzai Shabbos after B'kdei She'yasu, meaning what Rameir held about Mezid, Rabbi Yehuda holds about Shogeg. And we're going to see what Rabbi Yehuda holds about Mezid, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is going to hold about Shogeg. So they're getting progressively more chamor, more machmir than one another, but whatever the more makel opinion holds in a case of Mezid, the more machmir opinion will hold in a case of Shogeg. So b'mezid lo yochal, if you cook b'mezid on Shabbos, then the guy, lo yochal olamis, and the guy himself who cooked it is never going to be allowed to eat it. Other people will be allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler omer, b'shogeg yochal l'motzai Shabbos acherim v'lo lo. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, no, if it was b'shogeg, other people are allowed to eat it on Motzai Shabbos, but the guy himself who did it is not ever allowed to eat it. But if it's mezid, no one's allowed to eat it. If it was done b'mezid, nobody's allowed to eat it. Ever. So the reason Rabbi Yochanan asers b'mezid is clearly not a knas. It's based on a pasuk that the pasuk says u'shmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh hi lachem. So ma kodesh is asur ba'achila, af ma'is haShabbos is asur ba'achila. So you might think even b'shogeg. So that's why the pasuk says mechalleha mos yumas that b'mezid amarti v'lo b'shogeg. That's a mefurish in mefurish Gemara. That's in Ksubas Baba Kama. The Gemara spells all that out. That's a drasha that Rabbi Yochanan Asandler is making. There is a machlokas hamorayim, whether it's a drasha gemura min haTorah or it's only an asmachta, but that's the drasha that the Gemara quotes. But bottom line is, we're not so interested for the purpose of our sugya in Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. We're interested in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, because that's who we're associating our Mishnah with. So apparently, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a malacha was done on Shabbos, even if it was done b'shogeg, you're not allowed to benefit from that malacha on Shabbos. So just like he said that if you cook on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos. If you shecht on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos. And that's what Rav said. That's exactly what Rav was saying, that when our Mishnah says that the shechita is kosher, it means after Shabbos. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it. It fits perfectly. So ask the Gemara, why do you have to say that Rav is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, v'nukma b'mezid for Rabbi Meir? Why not say that our Mishnah is talking about where you shecht on Shabbos b'mezid, and then even Rabbi Meir would say you're not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos? And isn't it better to say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, because after all, Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir? So why would you lock in our Mishnah only to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda and not to Shitas Rabbi Meir? So says Malos Al Kadaitech, it cannot be that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir and it's talking about a case of Mezid. Tikatani, because the Mishnah sounds like when you shecht on Shabbos is Dum Yud Yom HaKippurim, is similar to Shechti on Yom Kippur, because after all, that's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that if a person shechts on Shabbos or Yom HaShochet b'Shabbos ubi Yom HaKippurim in one breath. So Ma Yom HaKippurim lo shom shogi lo shom Mezid lo achil, just like it's obvious on Yom Kippur that if, whether you shechted b'shogig, whether you shechted b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it because it's Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat it that day. Af hachanami lo shoshog lo shemezid lo achil. So it must be when it said that if you shechted on Shabbos that the shechita is going to be kosher, it must mean, but you're not allowed to eat it that day, whether it was shogig or mezid. So instead of saying that our Mishnah is only talking about a case of mezid and is going like Rabbi Meir, we'd rather say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda and bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it that day. You're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So it says more, wait, you're telling me that the case in our Mishnah of shechting an animal on Shabbos is somewhere where you did so b'shogeg? The Mishnah says that if you shecht on Shabbos, even though you're chayiv misa, the shechita is still going to be kosher. If our Mishnah is talking about a case where you shechted b'shogeg, you are not chayiv misa. So what do you mean, even though you're chayiv misa? You're chayiv karban, but you're not chayiv misa. So it says, where hachi kamar? No, what the Mishnah means to say is, even though what you did is such a terrible iser, that had you done it b'mezid, you would have been chayev misa, nevertheless, even though it's such a terrible avera, when you do it b'shogeg, the shchit is going to be kosher. And that means the shchit is going to be kosher after Shabbos, but on Shabbos the Shechita will not be kosher. So I asked the Gemara, but wait a second, still why do you have to lock in our Mishnah Dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda? I understand you don't want to say it's going like Rabbi Meir, because we'd rather not say that the Mishnah is talking about where you did it b'mezid, but v'nukma k'Rabbi Yochanan Asander. Why not say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yochanan Asander? Rabbi Yochanan Asander also says you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos, that neither the guy who did the malacha nor anybody else is allowed to eat it on Shabbos. And even though according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, if you did it b'mezid, the food becomes aser for you and for others forever, but b'shogeg the meichel is mutter for other people. So since even according to Rabbi Yehuda we said that the Mishnah is talking about a shogeg, we might as well just say that if the Mishnah is talking about a shogeg, it's going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. And when we say shchitaso k'sheira, we just mean shchitaso is k'sheira for everybody but the shochet, for everybody else except for the guy who shechted it. So it says, "Where Rabbi Yochanan Sander kamafel gemotzei Shabbos achir v'lalo tani dan shchitas ukshere katani." Yeah, but that's exactly it. Rabbi Yochanan Sander distinguishes between the guy who shechted it and everybody else. Our Mishnah gave no indication that we're distinguishing between the guy who shechted it and anybody else. The Mishnah just said that shchitas ukshere. So whenever it becomes kosher for everybody else, it should be kosher for the guy as well. And that's only Rabbi Yehuda. Lo shna lo v'lo shna achirim. Our Mishnah sounds like when it becomes kosher for everybody, and that fits Rabbi Yehuda, period. So that is the, we finally found which shitas Rabbi Yehuda our Mishnah, Rav must have been assuming like when he said that in our Mishnah, Shchitasu Ksheira means as soon as Shabbos is over, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to eat it. So on this topic of Maisa Shabbos, which by the way, this sugya probably, it's one of the most critical sugyas in Hilchos Shabbos for any Rav to know, because Maisa Shabbos shaylas come up all the time. These are shaylas that come up on a communal level, on personal levels. Maisa Shabbos shaylas are very, very, very common. So says the Gemara on the topic of Maisa Shabbos, Tani Tana Kameh de Rav, someone came teaching Mishnayos and Brises in Rav's Beis Medrash, and he got up and he said, Hamvashal b'Shabbos b'shogeg, yochal b'mezid lo yochal. He got up and he started teaching that if you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it, b'mezid you're not allowed to eat it. Umashtik le Rav, and Rav said, get this guy out of here. He quieted him down. So my time in Mashtikle, why did Rav have to be Mashtik the guy? If it's because maybe Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and this guy was teaching a more Mekel Shita. He was teaching like Rabbi Meir. So Mishum Desfir like Rabbi Yehuda, Manda Tani Rabbi Meir Mashtikle? Is that right? Because you hold like one Tana, you have to quiet someone down if he holds like another Tana? Meaning you have to, even Rabbi Yehuda's Talmid admit that Rabbi Meir is entitled to an opinion, right? It's not totally off the reservation. It's not something that's, that has to be banished from a base matter. We believe in debate. We believe in arguing about things within a certain range. But even aside from that, so you're telling me Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he wanted to quiet the guy who holds like Rabbi Meir? It's not so clear that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. When Rav would teach his own Talmidim, the Talmidei Chacham that he would learn with, he would tell them that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. V'chi darsh bepirka darsh k'Rabbi Yehuda. When he darshened in public, he would tell them like Rabbi Yehuda that if you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, it's aser until Motzoi Shabbos and b'mezid, the guy himself who cooked it is never allowed to eat it. And the reason he was a little more machmir when he taught it publicly is mishum amei aretz, because there were a lot of amei aretz at the drasha, and he was afraid that if they would hear that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, they'll be mezalzel in Nisuri Shabbos in general, and he wanted to express to them how seriously we take Yisurim of Shabbos. But Mikra Din, it sounds like he actually holds like Rabbi Meir, which only strengthens the question of why would he be mashtik this guy who said you yourself hold that way. You yourself hold like Rabbi Meir. And even if you didn't, you don't quiet a guy down who holds like Rabbi Meir. There is a machlokas rishonim how we paskin. Do we paskin like Rabbi Meir? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Right? Big nafkamina la halacha between the two. So Tosfos writes, that since Rav would teach his Talmidim like Rabbi Meir, so it seems that Mekra, then we pass like Rabbi Meir. So someone who's Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, he himself is allowed to benefit from it, even Boba Yom, that there is no Knas whatsoever. Meaning, if a person does a Malacha on Shabbos, Lav Dafka Bishal, all these Malachas, in Shin Yud Chesifal is where this appears in Shulchan Aruch, so like right on the spot, first thing Mishnah Berurah says, Lav Dafka Bishal, Shin Yud Ches is about Bishal, and this Halacha, the Maaser Shabbos, appears in the Siman about Bishal, because the Gemara expressed it, the Mishnah has expressed it in terms of Bishal. But if you have any Malacha, you do a Malacha on Shabbos, Bishogeg, you could do whatever you want. You're allowed to benefit from that Malacha. And if you did it B'Mezid, it's Aser Bo Bayom, even for other people, but as soon as Shabbos is over, you're going to be allowed to benefit from it. That is Shitas Rabbi Meir, and that's what Tosa says is the Ikra Din. However, Rov Rishonim Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that it's usher for the guy forever if you did it b'mezid, and for acherim it's mutter amotzai Shabbos, because that which Rav Paskin like Rav Meir in his own Beis Medrash is l'shitaso, that the klal that Rav Meir Rav Yehuda Alach Rav Yehuda is not an absolute klal, that there are exceptions to that klal, and therefore this might be one of the exceptions. We hold that it's an absolute klal, and therefore we're going to Paskin like Rav Yehuda. And furthermore, since even Rav himself was reticent to share this publicly, that we pass on like Rabbi Meir, so we're no better than the Amei Aretz in Rav's time, right? So if he didn't want to share it publicly, then we shouldn't pass in that way. So in Mishnah Berurah, Paskins, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Gra that says that that you could be Somech on Rabbi Meir B'Shas Halchak, that we can rely on Rabbi Meir in the case of Hafsid or Shasar Chak. Okay, so says Mar Vachite Matana Bepirke Tana Kame Atu Kuli Alma Latana Tzaisi La Mora Tzaisi. So he says, and maybe you're going to tell me the reason Rav quieted him down is because at the time of the Drasha, he taught this Brisa, and Rav was afraid that at the time of the Drasha, the Abaya Aretz are here. So don't go around teaching Rabbi Meir Shita at the time of the Drasha. So says Mar, no one's listening to what the Talmud Chacham is saying. People only listen to the Amara, to the Meturgaman, to the one who serves as the microphone. So as long as that guy doesn't repeat it, then you're okay. You don't have to quiet down. The Tana. Tana means someone who teaches Tanakh teachings, who teaches Brises and Mishnayos. You don't have to quiet him down. Just make sure that the Meturgaman doesn't announce it publicly. So we're still stuck. Why did Rav quiet him down? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained that he didn't say Mevashel B'Shabbos Tana Shochet Tana Kameh Rav, that this Tana did not say over Shitas Rav Meir. Shitas Rav Meir was about Bishul. This Tana taught about Shechting on Shabbos. HaShochet B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezid Lo Yochal. He said that if you Shecht on Shabbos, that B'Shogeg you're allowed to eat it, B'Mezid you're not allowed to eat it. And that's what Rav took offense to. Amr Lehi said to him, Mai Daitech, why are you teaching this? Why do you think, whose Shita are you following? Rabbi Meir? You think you're just following Rabbi Meir and you just swapped out one Malacha for the other and they're all the same anyway? Shochet, Mevashel, Ad kan lo kasher Rameir elab mevashel deroy lachus. Rameir holds that if you had something that was raw meat when Shabbos started, it was not muktzah. So yes, when you were mevashel, you did a malacha. So from a malacha perspective, if you did it b'shogeg, you're allowed to benefit from a malacha. But it wasn't muktzah because raw meat is usable on Shabbos. It was said some people could chew on. Avol shochet ein roy lachus lo. But if you shecht on Shabbos, you're dealing with something that was muktzah because there was nothing that it was ra'oi for when Shabbos started. And therefore, even though from a malacha perspective you're correct, even Rabbi Meir would not have allowed this from a muktza perspective. And that's where you're off. So Vahamas Nisan the Shochet, but wait a second, our Mishnah talks about Shochet, doesn't talk about Mevashel. Vam Rav Huna, Darish Chia Bar Rav, Mishmei de Rav, Asur Bachil Yomei, Menasun Chavrei Lameim, Rabbi Yehudihi, HaRabbi Meir Shari. But wait, that goes against our whole sugya, right? Our whole sugya started with the Mishnah about Shochet, and then Rav says, this is only allowed after Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. And we said, that's Rabbi Yehuda would say you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. which very much implies that Rav Meir would say, you are allowed to eat it on Shabbos, even though it's not about Bishul, it's about Shochet. So apparently I'm not so concerned about this Muktzah issue. So answers the Gemara that, it sounds like the Rav Meir would hold that the Basar is Mutzah, but Kishar Rav Meir, when Rav Meir says that the Basar is not Muktzah, in the case of our Mishnah, where you shechted, even by a case of Shechita, Kigon Shailo Cholim Ibod Yom. He must have been talking about a case where there was someone that was deathly ill in your house when Shabbos started, and therefore the Basar wasn't Mutzah, because you're already thinking, when Shabbos started, I'm probably going to need to shecht this at some point over Shabbos. Iyachi, my time is Rabbi Dadasar. Well, then why does Rabbi Yudah have a problem with it? If it was the Shechita was the Tzorach Chol Sheish B'Sakana, so then it's Mutzah on Shabbos. Meaning, once you take away the Muktzah problem, you've also taken away the Malacha problem. Because if you have a Chol Sheish B'Sakana, so granted, when Shabbos started, it's not Muktzah because you're thinking you're going to use it for the Chol Sheish B'Sakana. Well, then it's not a Malacha either. Because if you shecht it for a Chol Sheish B'Sakana, it's Heter Gamur. So says Gemara, no. The Hivri. Here's how you thread that needle. You had a chola in your house when Shabbos started, so it wasn't muktzah because in your mind you're thinking I might need to shecht this on Shabbos, but then when you actually shecht on Shabbos, you're in violation of a malacha because there was no chola anymore. The Gemara thinks positively. It says Hivri. There's another possibility of what happened to the chola, but bottom line is there's no chola anymore at the time that you shecht it, and therefore at that time you're doing a malacha. So if you didn't have a chola in your house when Shabbos started, the behema would be asur mishum muktzah. And the Tana that taught this price in the name of Rav, that if you shecht on Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. It sounds like even if you didn't have he made it sound like this Tana that was teaching that you're allowed to eat it, made it sound like you're allowed to eat it even when there's no chola in your house. And that's why Rav quieted the guy down. He said, you're getting confused when you're saying that if you shecht something on Shabbos that you're allowed to eat it, that if you shechted it b'shogeg, you're not really following Shitas Rav Meir because you're not accounting for the muktzah issue. Now, granted, if you had a chola in your house, there is no muktzah issue, but you didn't mention anything about a chola, so you're not accounting for the muktzah issue. So Gemara brings a raya that, according to Rav, if you shecht on Shabbos, the meat is asr mishum muktzah. V'chi hada amar av acha bar ada amar Rav, v'amri la amar av yitzchak bar ada amar Rav. If a person shechts for a chola on Shabbos, asr labari, we're talking about when Shabbos started, the guy was healthy, it's just that he got sick afterwards, someone gets deathly ill on Shabbos, so you shecht the meat for him to be able to get better. A healthy person is not allowed to eat from that meat on Shabbos because it's muktzah for him. Hamavasha l'chol b'Shabbos, mutzah labari. But if someone gets sick on Shabbos and then you cook for him, you cook meat that was already shechted from before Shabbos, you just cook it for the chola, then a bari is allowed to eat it as well because it's not muktzah and you didn't do any malacha that was asr by cooking for the chola. My taimo, why is there a difference between shechting and mevashel? Hi, roi lachos, hi, hein roi lachos. Because raw meat is not muktzah. Raw meat is something that people could benefit from, that people could enjoy, that people could chew on. But a live animal is not something that people could chew on. It has no use and is actually muktzah. So Rav Papa adds that sometimes that din is not going to be true. Amar Rav Papa pa'amim sha'ashochet mutter kigon shayil cholam ibod yom. And sometimes, even if you shecht on Shabbos, the meat's not going to be muktzah if there was a chola in the house when Shabbos started, because then you were not maksim idaito. And sometimes, mevashal aser, kigon shakatzas lo dala'as. Even if you cook on Shabbos, it's going to be a muktzah problem in a case where katzas lo dala'as, that a chola gets sick on Shabbos, and you harvest, you cut a gourd from the ground, and then you cook it. So since when Shabbos started, it was mechubel lekarka, it's going to be muktzah, meaning it's not something that could have been used when Shabbos started. It's going to be considered a muktzah. So the Gemara paskins what the Gemara comes to psak halacha. Amrav diminarda hilchasa hashochit lecholda. If you shecht for the chol sheish b'sakana, who was already sick when Shabbos started, Bishabbos, and you shecht for him on Shabbos, mutzal abari. A bari is allowed to eat it. A healthy person is allowed to eat it. Bu'umtza. As long as he eats it without cooking it, because since there was a cholim ibod yom, the animal is not muktza, as we've explained. And similarly, you don't have to worry about that if it's mutter for a bari to eat from the basar, because you might come to shecht for a bari as well. My time kiven diyeshul gzayis basar b'loshchita, since even to get a tiny quantity of meat, you need to shecht the whole animal. Kika shachet, that's the color shachet. When you shecht the animal, you need to do that one ma'isa shchita, no matter how many people are going to be fed from that ma'isa shchita. So even if you just need to feed one person, one little gzayis, the ma'isa shchita is necessary. Hamvasha l'chala b'shabbos asul bari. But if you cook for a chala on Shabbos, then a healthy person is not allowed to eat it. Why? Because then we're concerned that you're going to cook more. Because if you only need to cook a kazayis for the chala, you might come to cook more for healthy people if healthy people were allowed to eat it. It's a gzera that you might come to cook more. Okay, says that we have a similar gzera, by the way, when it comes to cooking on Yontif for a nachri. You're not allowed to cook on Yontif for a nachri. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to invite a nachri for a Yontif meal, because gzera shema yarba b'shvilo, that you might come to cook more for the nachri. So if you ever want to invite a nachri for a meal, for a yantiv meal, invite him for a Shabbos. You don't invite him for yantiv. Hashochet b'magal yad. If a person shechts with a new mishnah, if a person shechts with a magal yad, which on one side has pegimos and the other side has a smooth edge, or b'tzaru v'kana, or he uses a sharp-edged rock or a reed, shchitas v'ksher. The shchit is going to be kasher b'diavet. Hakol shochtin. Everyone is allowed to shecht, even Yisrael Mumar, as long as a kasher Yisrael checks the knife. Uliolam shochtin, and you're allowed to shecht at any time, both daytime and at nighttime, as long as there's proper lighting, and Barosh Hagag, Barosh Hasfino, all that. Ubakol shochtin, and you're allowed to use any type of sharp implement, chutz mi magal katsu, except for a harvesting sickle, which has pegimos, vamagira, or a saw which has pegimos, vashinayim, or teeth that are attached to the jaw of an animal, vatziporen, or an attached fingernail. And the reason that you're not allowed to use these items to shecht mipnei shein chonkin is because they don't slice the simanim, they catch the simanim and therefore choke out the animal. So Gemara has been dying from the Lashon of the Mishnah that a magil katzir, a tzur, and a kana are kasher, sounds like only b'dievet. Hashochet dievet in l'chadchila lo, makes it sound like using these items is only b'dievet, but l'chadchila you're not allowed to use them. Well, bishlam magil yad, I understand why it's only going to be a b'dievet on a magil yad. One side is smooth edged and the other side is not. So I understand, till masil mevet b'dechisa, you might come to use the wrong side of it and that's going to be a problem. El tzor v'kana l'chadchila lo, to use a sharp-edged rock that has a smooth, sharp edge, or a reed that has a smooth, sharp edge, why are you not allowed to use that l'charchila, or a mini? Forget about why are you not. I'll show you a braisa that you are allowed to use it l'charchila. Bakol shochtin, bemis or bemis chuz bemis krom shalkana, and that sounds like even l'charchila. So Gemara is asking l'chora doubly over here. First of all, what on earth would be the svara that you're not allowed to use it l'charchila? And second of all, we have a braisa that says that you are allowed to use it l'charchila. So it says Mara Lokasha, Kan Betalush Kan B'Mechuber. Very simple chiluk, that if you're using a tzor or a kana that are no longer attached to the ground, that's even the chachila. If it's still attached to the ground and you're just bending the reed over and trying to shecht the animal with it, that's only b'diavet. Amrav Kana Shochit B'Mechuber L'Karka, Rebbe Posel, Rebbe Chia Machshir. So the Mishnah holds like Rebbe Chia, the more makel opinion that it's kosher, but only b'diavet. Ad Kan Loka Machshir Rebbe Chia L'B'diavet, Avol Chachila Lo. He would never be Machshir L'Chachila. He's only machshir b'diavet. So b'mayu kimta ki Rabbi Chia. Ooh, so you said our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Chia d'yeved, and it's saying that only b'diavet you're allowed to use these kelim. Elah haditanya, that which the Brisa says, bakol shochtin, bein betolush, bein b'mechubar, bein shasak in the maila v'tzavr b'yim l'mata, bein shasak in the mata v'tzavr b'yim l'maila, that you could shecht with things that are attached to the ground or detached from the ground, whether the neck of the animal is above the knife or below the knife. Well, money, who's that following? Lo Rabbi. Even though Bichia, it's like neither party. She because the Ira Bichia, if the price is going like Rabbi Chia, Dievet in the Chachila low, that it's only Kasher B'Dievet, the Chachila, you're not allowed to do it. And the price sounds like you're even allowed to do the Chachila. And me, Rebbe, it's even worse, Dievet Nami low. According to Rebbe, it's not even good B'Dievet. And the price says, hey, you're allowed to do it the Chachila. So it says more of the Olam Rabbi Chia. The price is going like Rabbi Chia, Va'afilu the Chachila. And it's saying, you are allowed to do it the Chachila. And that which the Rabbi Chia and Rebbe disagree in a B'dievet case is not because Rabbi Chia is only machshir B'dievet. Rabbi Chia would hold even the Chalchila it's mutter. The reason they argue in a B'dievet case is to tell you just how strict Rebbe is. That Rebbe is not even going to be machshir B'dievet, which is against what the Gemara normally does. Normally the Gemara tries to highlight the Koach Te'atera, so that's dealt with over here. Tosos deals with that question. But our Mishnah says Hashochet Yevet in the Chalchila low money low Rebbe velo Rebbe Chia. It seems to be going like nobody if it says only B'dievet. I Rebbe Chia filu the Chalchili I Rebbe D'Yevet Nami low, because Rebbe Chia will allow it even the Chalchila and Rebbe won't allow it even B'dievet. So the Olam Rebbe Chia vafilu the Chalchila umasnis the Ketani Hashochet Rebbe hi. That really when our Mishnah says that if you shecht B'dievet it's kosher is going like Rebbe kosher to Rebbe ad Rebbe. So then it's a steer in Rebbe lo kasha. One is talking about something, the brisas where Rebbe passes B'dievet is something that was mechuber to begin with, and the Mishnah that says that B'dievet is kosher is something that was detached and then later was reattached. We have a brisa that says that way. If you are shochet with something that's mechuber, the shchit is kosher. Not at sakim because of the shachet. If a rock is sticking out of the wall and you shecht with it, the shechit is possible. So kashin adadi, it's a stira. The ratio of the brisa says that you're allowed to shecht with the mechubar lekarka, and the sefer of the brisa says that that it's possible. Elav shemamina shayni mechubar leikaro letalush lebesof chibro shemamina. So we see that there's a chiluk between that which is mechubar leikaro and that which was talush, and then you were mechaber to the karka. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. We'll pick up from there tomorrow.